In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It feels like the heat is on, doesn't it? I think we're good. So I don't know if Robert Clark is here, but Robert always teases me about Dixon. Nobody ever complained about a short sermon. So this may be Robert's week. It's a shame he's not here to hear my short sermon. What are you going to do? And it won't be that short, because preacher got to preach. Okay, so let's start. Hey, we are today, today is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of ordinary time before Advent. It is also Recovery Sunday, which is the Sunday that our church recognizes the witness and testimony of the 12-step program. And finally, it's baptism. I get to weave all of that into this sermon. So here we go. Christ the King. This is the day where we recognize the kingship of Jesus. He is, of course, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Glory, alleluia, as you have heard it sung. You have readings on today from Revelation. Today it says that Jesus, the firstborn of the dead, is also the ruler of the kings of the earth. And you think, of course. I mean, that's why we're here, right? Jesus is the boss. But for me, it raises questions about, well, I know what kind of kings and rulers and authorities there are in this world, but what kind of ruler and king and authority is Jesus? Is he the same kind of ruler and king and authority as the rulers of this world? I mean, is Jesus kind of like your big brother that when you were getting bullied in middle school, you went and got him so he could beat up the bully? Is that Jesus? Does he kind of like throw a harder punch, you know, than the bully? If the bully, you know, has a pretty good right cross, Jesus knows karate. I mean, is that? I've been trying that joke all morning, and it hasn't worked. I told you I'd try it again.
I think it's a knockout.
Did you hear Shields? He said he thought it was a knockout. Up top. Okay. That was funnier than my joke. Anyway, the question is still there for me. What kind of ruler is Jesus? What does it mean for Jesus to be king? Is he king like other kings are kings, or is Jesus doing something different? There's a theologian named Andy Crouch, or a Couch, that wrote a great book called Playing God a couple of years ago. Andy is trying to deal with redeeming what he calls the gift of power. He says power's gotten a bad rap, but what does like real and God-given power look like? And what Couch says is really interesting. He says, he takes you back to Genesis at the beginning of the book, and he says that when God creates the heavens and the earth, it, of course, begins with speech. God speaks the heavens and the earth into existence, but what is the phrase that God uses to speak the heavens and the earth into existence? Come on, Episcopal Church. Let there be light. Yes. Let there be light. So the phrase is, let there be light. Now, he contrasts this phrase in Hebrew with the phrase from Star Trek The Next Generation, make it so. And I will not belabor the nerd factor in that analogy as much as I would love to, but he says, he's like, you sort of see this contrast of power. Make it so is a coercive kind of power. It's an authority that stops conversation, you know? And that's good if you're, you know, the Enterprise is under threat from a Romulan ship. You don't want the crew waxing philosophic on the nature of power and what does it mean to have authority. You want them to do what Picard says because you're in danger. So there's a place for this kind of power. But he says it's not the kind of power that God creates everything with. The kind of power God creates everything with is the let there be light kind of power, which the phrasing of that verb, the voice of it, is the jussive voice. Are there any English people here that know what I'm talking about? English people, yes, this is your day, English people. Stephanie. Stephanie will tell you all about the jussive voice. And it, what the jussive voice does is it's still imperative. It's still moving things in a direction, but it's the voice of the verb isn't shutting something down. It's opening something up. It's saying, we're going to start something that I want you to continue. That's why this God that starts the creation with, let there be light, the next thing this God says is, let us make. Because God starts making things, and then ultimately making things with people, okay? So if you think about it, it could be the difference between like the closed fist and the open hand. The closed fist is make it so. It shuts down. Make it so. The closed fist stops things. It's done. Over. This is my answer. The open hand ushers something in. The open hand is what you say, hey, come over to my house for dinner, Dan. Right this way. We're going to do something together. It displays artwork. The open hand and the closed fist. Are you with me? Now, the kingdom of God has this let there be characteristic to it, which is why Pilate can't seem to make heads or tails of what Jesus is talking about in the gospel this morning. He asks him, are you a king? And Jesus, of course, says, are people gossiping about me? Are they church people? Probably church people. And then they finish that, and he said, okay, yeah, I'm a king, but he says, my kingdom is not from this world. Now, what he means, of course, is not that the kingdom of God is an afterlife scenario. It's not something that is, you know, like we're in a three-tiered universe and it's in the clouds, you know, up there and we're down here. What he's saying is that his kingdom, it's fueled by a different kind of power. It's energized by a different kind of batteries. There's a different sort of fuel in the tank. There's something else that's kicking it into gear. It's moving according to a different set of energies than the kingdoms of this world. He says, if it weren't the case, all my followers would be out there fighting to stop me from being held captive, but they're not. Because Pilate can't imagine that there could be a kingdom or a force or an energy or a set of authority in this world that doesn't ultimately use violence to accomplish its ends. And Jesus says, oh, but actually there is. And kind of leaves the question out there for us to ponder as well in the lectionary this morning. So the kingdom of God, open-handed, more than closed fist. Are you with me? Now, all of this relates beautifully to a recovery Sunday. We talk about the 12 steps. We talk about the witness of the 12-step community. Because 12-step spirituality, it's all about the power of the open hand. Anybody that's been around someone that's wrangled with addiction knows usually there was a season where you tried the power of the closed fist first. If I'm just more disciplined, if I try harder, if I pray more, if I just am smarter, faster, wiser, I can get out of this on my own power. But what they discover is that that's not how it works. What they discover is if they want something to really change within them, for something new to be birthed and not just something old to be shut down, you got to open and receive the open hand. And the reception of open-handed power is the first step, which says, I am powerless over this thing that's got its hooks in me. I am powerless over my addiction to alcohol, and my life has become unmanageable. It's the power of the open hand. It says, oh, for things to change, it's about giving up and being open to a different kind of power to come in and birth something new in me. Are you with me? Now, the problem with a recovery Sunday is that we can think it's for somebody else. We can think that recovery Sunday is about those people that go to AA and the folks that go to NA, and they go to those groups and they have a Wednesday night meeting and they carry a chip in their pocket. But it's not for them. It's for us. Because I'll tell you this, every single one of us in this room has got something that we are powerless over in our life. All of us do. I've been doing this priest thing for a long time. Sarah and John will tell you. Darby will tell you. Like, we meet a lot of people and they look great and they're put together, and they are great and put together. But they also have this dark side. Everybody's got something they're dealing with. Sometimes it's really big and chaotic and destructive and creates all kinds of havoc. It's an addiction, it's alcohol, it's drugs, it's a sex addiction, it's all that kind of stuff. It's shopping. Come on! Now I'm meddling. But sometimes it's the little things. Why do I keep burning with resentment for that person that treated me bad at the office 3 years ago? Why is it that when she comes over to my house for Thanksgiving, I don't want to get into it with her, but she's going to bring up that thing, and when she does, I'm not going to be able to not say the thing. You know what I'm talking about? There are things we are powerless over. Are you with me? The invitation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today is to say, would you like that to be different? What if it could be different? What if that could change in you? That's the question that baptism asks us. That's the question that's at the heart of baptism. In baptism, there's somebody that is laid low. It's the image of death and rebirth. There is a change that happens. And baptism begs the question. It calls it, can things really change? Can tomorrow be different than today? Or does it have to just be the same endless cycle, same pattern over and over again? Does it have to be like that? What if it could be different? What if it really could be different? What if the thing you can't imagine your life existing without could actually be different? Baptism says, there's a God big enough to handle that. Are you in? Here's how you get in. I'm going to give you two invitations today. First thing, we're going to come up and have communion after this baptism. What do you do with your hands when you come up for communion?
You open them.
You open them up. So here's what I want to invite you to do. Open your hands when you come for communion, and whatever the thing is that's got its hooks in you, that you want to be different, the thing that you want to change, I want you to just imagine it kind of sitting there. And when you come up for communion and you open your hands, hold them there for a second before you receive the bread as a way of saying, I am powerless over this thing, God. I want you to have it. I'm looking for some of your open-handed power to come my way. Could you fill it with a different kind of power? Could you create something new in me? I need some new creation up in here. Can you bring that? The second way, and you can do both, is this. We're going to have a baptism, and there's going to be water sitting right here in this font. Baptism's all about the change. It's all about the difference. It's all about the new life. Come up here, put your hand in the water, make the sign of the cross on your head or across your body. Get a little baptism on you. Come in here and get a little on you. Feel it, touch it, taste it. As a way of saying yes to the God that can make a difference, to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that doesn't just shut stuff down, but starts something new and invites us to join. Are you in? Let's do it.
I'm in.